Father, to join. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come alive.
That's how I change my world. Hallelujah. As I wrap up the year with you on the teachings on Art Thou Anointed, I want to wrap up the year with you with a warning, a very important warning concerning the matter of anointing. And today's message is titled Discerning False Power and Ungodly Presence. And as our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures, starting with the book of Numbers chapter 22, verse 1 to 6. The book of Numbers, the writings of Moses, the fourth book called Numbers, the chapter 22, verse 1. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab and the side of Jordan across Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us. As an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Bethel, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me." Take note of the verse 6. If you are using a hard copy Bible, I want you to underline something very critical here for today. "Therefore, please come at once. Curse these people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps as I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." That is serious. Second reading, Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. "For I know." Acts chapter 16, verse 16, the Acts of the Apostles. Let's read. "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." Last reading, James chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. James chapter 3. Verse 15 to 16. "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic." I want you to know those three things. It is all earthly, sensual, and demonic. That word wisdom there can also be represented by power. Okay? "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Can we take the verse 16 together as normally we do? We are reading together verse 16. "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." As I said earlier, today I came to warn. And the warning is that you must be very careful with the matter of power, which is also anointing. And being careful about the matter of power, one very thing that you need to cultivate is what we call the ability to discern false power and ungodly presence. So this morning, I want you to journey with me what it takes to know false power and ungodly presence. Now, I understand that power is a revealer of God's kingdom and God's act. So, because power reveals God's kingdom and the act of God, one very simple definition of God's kingdom is power. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20, Paul said that the kingdom of God is not of words but power, because power is the revealer, or the one which reveals God's kingdom and his act. So one way, or the sure way to know the kingdom of God and the act of God, is that you see power at what? At work. This is not only by the sayings of Paul. We can also see it in the sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke chapter 11 verse 20, we saw that the confession of Jesus about the reality of the kingdom for the people was established on the fact that if you see that by the finger of the Lord I cast out demons, then the kingdom is what? At near to thee. So Jesus told them that the act of manifesting power was the revelation and the confirmation that the kingdom of God is what? Real and is with them. Let's read. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he didn't say that if I preach, that if you see what I'm doing, which is the demonstration of power, it means that the kingdom of God is with you. Hallelujah. Now, another thing I want to put across concerning the matter of power is that Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 said that the works of the apostles and the early church were confirmed or signed or approved on the verdict of power. For people to know that indeed God sent them, or they are doing the work of God, you saw clearly that power was the signature to it. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. Sorry, it's not verse 14. The Bible said, God also bearing witness.
Hallelujah.
So in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible said that God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, another thing I want to give about the concept power to help establish what we are talking about today is that the last promise Jesus gave the church was a promise of power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And in his explicit teaching or command in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 19, we also see that he said to the disciples, I've given you power. So you see that everything about the kingdom of God, everything about God and all his kingdom is on power, 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 power. Therefore, you cannot talk about Christianity or the church and exclude power. And that is why you see that anointing is a common topic in our everyday gathering and everyday discussion. Because power and the kingdom are inseparable. They are together. They move together. Do you get it? God. If that be the case, then let's look at what exactly is very dangerous here. Because God associates with power, and you cannot separate the manifestation of power from the reality of the kingdom, the devil has made it all his effort to infiltrate the church with an illegitimate power. The devil knows that you cannot separate power, the act of power, from the kingdom, the act of power from the church. So one of the basic and the most sure way to infiltrate the church is the act of power. So in the book of Matthew chapter 24 verse 24, very important scripture, listen to what Jesus said. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. Look at where the target is. To deceive, isn't it? If possible, even the elect. So the agenda of the devil in the demonstration of power is not for the unbeliever. They already belongs to him, whether he showed them power or not. The false prophetic acts we are seeing, the false Christ, all those things we are seeing, the ultimate target is you, the elect. Because they know that as far as power is on ground, your system identifies with power. So the only way they can infiltrate your system is that they do something that has the likelihood and the likeliness or the resemblance of what you are used to. So every display of power outside God's power is just one thing: to deceive, if possible, the elect. That's why matters of power is a very risky thing. And now, if we don't learn to teach and help people to understand that the devil's objective, main goal, is that he will use power to deceive you, you'll be in trouble. So I cannot teach on the matter of anointing without not helping you to know false anointing. No. It will be dangerous for you. I cannot teach on the matter of the manifest presence of God's power without not letting you to know that the devil can equally come. So our whole system that we subscribe to is a system of power. Yes, you must love power. You must desire power. You must want to walk in power. However, in attempt to have all this of power, you must know that you are a target by the devil too, to use the same system that you are hungry for, you need, you want to use to get you, to deceive you. So there's a need to know how to discern false power. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you three very important facts that establish the dangers around power, or as we desire to walk in power in this kingdom, the anointing. Three facts. Number one, God is not the only one who holds power and can express power. That is the first fact you need to know. In the book of Psalms chapter 62 verse 11, the Bible said that all powers belongs to God, which is the truth. Every power you see in operation in this realm or any realm is of God. However, he is not the only one who has what? Hold of power. Why? God, after creation, designated or gave out authority and power to certain creatures, that by so they can accomplish a task he gives them. And in the nature of God, the Bible says that he gives, the gifts of God are without what? Repentance. God does not take back when he gives to you. So you find out that God, in his capacity, has given power to certain creatures. One is man. And other one is the devil and angels. The Bible said the powers that angels have. Do you know that in Revelation, the Bible said just 1 foot of an angel covered the entire earth. 1 foot. And if you read scriptures, you'll find out the act of power by angels. How many angels slay the enemies of Jehoshaphat? The Bible says he sent just what? An angel. In the night. So, angels assume power because God gave them power. And the devil is also from the class of angels. So, the first fact we need to establish is that although all powers that exist or any power that exists belongs to God, he is not the only one who holds it. There are certain powers that have been trusted in the hands of certain beings that, as it stands now, they have full control by it. And those powers, to all knowledge, are corrupted. So if you don't know that there can be an expression of power that is not signed up by God, then you're going to be in trouble. So the first fact we have to establish is that there is power that can be in play that is not of God, because God is not the only one who can express power. So therefore, what are these kinds of power? Number one, we have human power. Now, human power is divided into two. We have what we call the natural power. The natural power of man is that physical abilities that we have and can use, or we use to control natural things around us. So by the power, natural power vested in us, we are able to control natural things around us. So we have been able to develop ship to move over waters. That is power. We have control over the sea. We have developed what we call submarine. That is able to live in the water. That is natural power. That ability of man to have control over natural resources is God who gave it to us. That is why one of the first things you do as a human is that your immediate environment, you want to have control. True of us. Do you let your dog decide for you when to enter your house? Are you following me? Because it is something God has given to us. You see, the moment you see somebody having the thought of suicide is because at that instant, the immediate environment around the person is overpowering the person. When man cannot express natural power over his immediate circumstances, okay, to have control, the first thing is what? Because man is not created to be dominated. He's created to dominate. And that comes from the natural power to control even the natural things. And that is what you saw in Adam in his first act, naming what? The things that were created by God. So that one is, see, if you are here and you refuse not to use your natural power, it's up to you. But God has given you a power that naturally gives you the right to control your immediate environment, physical, natural environment. That is why if your house is bushy and you don't do anything about it, you suffer. Because angels will not come and weed it for you. If there is a crack in your wall, so you see the kind of development and things that have come up. It's a revelation of man's natural power God has given him. Very powerful. And it's good. God gave it to us. That our natural environment, which we have control over, we can be able to what? Prove that we are the ones in charge. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following me? Now, so we are still talking about the fact that God is not the only one who expresses power. Are you with me? Good. So let's follow down. And I said, there are other people, and the first one is human. And the first kind of power human expresses is what? The natural power. The second kind of power man expresses is called the soulish power. Now, let's stay here a little. I've spoken about soulish power over and over, and I won't talk about it today again. You see, it is a very dangerous thing that has crept into the church that many people don't know. It's so easy for a believer to move or disconnect from the power of God and start operating by soulish power. Now, what is a soulish power? It is that human energy that comes out from the soulish realm, which has to do with emotions, your intellect, and your will. An energy or influence trying to produce spiritual results without divine inspiration. Anytime you want to achieve a spiritual result without a divine inspiration, whatever effort you are putting in there comes from the soulish power and can be accomplished. Are you with me? And this is what psyche is about. Soulish power, psychology. Psychology teaches you how to achieve spiritual results without God, without divine inspiration. The promotion of you can do it, believe in yourself, it's called the motivational speakers. I watch a video on TikTok where a dog was barking at is it a tiger or a lion? And said, this is what motivational speakers do. And the way the tiger really dealt with it at one hit. So you see, motivational speakers, I'm not saying motivation is not good, but the motivation must be inspired by God. But any motivation, energy, influence that comes without inspiration or divine inspiration from God to achieve spiritual results. And when you talk of spiritual results, don't think of spiritual results of anything that affects your soul and your spirit realm. That one is empowered by the soulish power. Now let me give you a scripture to that. In our third reading, James chapter 3 verse 15. The Bible said that there is a kind of wisdom. Now you know wisdom is spiritual, true of us. And wisdom is from God. God giveth wisdom. Is that not so? In the book of Revelation, he said that he has given to us honor, glory, wisdom, power. So wisdom is a thing of God. It comes from the Spirit of God. The Bible said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask what? Him, who gives liberally. But the Bible here says that there's a kind of wisdom, which is empowerment, that is not of God. Listen to the description. It said, this wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly and what? Sensual. And it can progress into becoming a demonic what? Wisdom. So if you don't know, there's something called soulish power. I'm showing you here. So there's a wisdom that man can operate with without divine inspiration to achieve spiritual results. And I said, psychology will teach you that. In our generation now, that is one of the things we are teaching. So yoga. Have you heard of yoga? Yoga is not demonic. It's soulish. Block meditation. You block an empty, and then it is, you are trying to access a sealed power in your soul. See, when man fell, that spiritual power in the soul, that power in the soul was corrupted, so God sealed it. But with yoga, you block mind, you can, and people can ascend by block meditation. Do you know people are healing with yoga? Oh, you don't know? Oh, are you with me? Those of you, where is Ubo and then Elvis? You those who do those therapies and other stuff. Is it not true? Soulish power. Very powerful. Now it has entered the church. So James, by teaching, made us know that there's something called sensual wisdom. Coming from what? The senses of man. Spiritual. The soul of man. Bringing out that reality. It's without divine inspiration. It is not from God. It has no basis and foundations from scriptures. It has no inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And men are victims of it. Hallelujah. Now let me give you 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Let me give some characteristics of the soulish power. Number one. A soulish power can only be successful and can only be operationalized through emotions, charisma, and human influence, not the anointing. You know, some people are charismatic. See, some of you go to places and said, do you know those who are very good with this one? Music ministers. They can trigger your emotions with their charisma. Somebody, are you hearing me? Shout! Oh, as you shout, as you jump, you know, charismatic people. Because of time, I want to move on. We have a lot to do. So, number two, soulish power imitate the things of the spirit, but lack holiness and divine authority. That is the place where you see that there's no reverence for God, but still people will be falling under the anointing. You have not seen some before. Yeah. That is the place where, yes, there is no act of holiness, reverence for God, and still people will be crying and weeping. That's why we keep telling you that, in fact, you are not the only person who can make people weep. The late Michael Jackson was doing it better than you. People were falling under the anointing. Celine Dion is doing it better than you. So it's not every fall is a fall of the Holy Spirit. A soulish power can do so. So imitate the things of the spirit, but you see that the quality of it lacks holiness. There is no holiness attached to that results of the spirit. Number three, right? Seeks to control or manipulate rather than to serve. At every given instance, you see that soulish power, when it is at work, it seeks to manipulate and control you. It doesn't serve you. The key thing is manipulation and control. This is where witchcraft comes from. Not every witchcraft is demonic. There are soulish expressions that are witchcraft. There are people. And you see, this kind of obsession. And I just use the obsession. Like, you. Okay, I'll get there. I don't want to jump. I'll get there. Number three, self-centered. Centered on self-will and not God's will. Soulish power. You see that when people are using it, it has nothing to do with God. That's why you go to those places, the teaching has to do with 10 ways to make it. Some funny motivations that has nothing to do with God. Last one. Produces excitement. Very key. And not true transformation. So if you go to a place where soulish power is the center of stage, all the people are interested in how they'll be excited. So they are going to church not because they are going to be transformed, but some sort of what? Entertainment. Oh. Soulish power. So they come. They are not. See, whatever happens at the end of the day, it ends at exciting the people. They are so happy, excited, entertained. They walk out. There's no true transformation. Oh, the teaching was powerful, but it didn't do anything to you. Just enjoy it and then you're good to go. Now, the third one is the devilish power. Are you being blessed? All right. Devilish power, it is the real supernatural power that is corrupted by the devil. It has the nature of deceptiveness and opposes God's authority. Now, you see, soulish power has no intention of opposing God. It has intention of imitating God. But devilish power, its intention is what? Oppose. That's why I said that the soulish power is dangerous. That's what you see, the counterfeit of the it looks like it's always like God. Soulish power. That's what it does. Now people are using psychology to prophesy now. Do you know that? Oh, you don't know? Psychology. Psyche. Like the palms reading and all these things. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 22, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9 to 10, we see clearly the Bible talks about devilish power. Devilish power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9 to 10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of what? Satan. With all power. With all power. Revelation chapter 13 verse 2. With all power. The workings of Satan with all power. So, the first fact, I'm still on the first fact, that God is not the only one who has power, who expresses power. Man, true, natural, and not soulish dimension. Then we have what we call the devilish power. The devil also has power. He expresses it. Oh, Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. Are we there? Hallelujah. Now the beast which I saw was like his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his what? Power. His throne and great what? Authority. And you know that in Revelation, the serpent that appeared in what? Genesis chapter 3 is the dragon in Revelation. He has power. So that's what we call it, devilish what? Power. I said the character of devilish power is what? Is deceptive and opposes God's what? Authority. Now let's move on. The second fact. Why power is a dangerous thing is that all these forms of power I've mentioned can produce the same outward results. Whether God's power, soulish power, devilish power, they have the ability to produce the same outward result. So if it's healing, healing can be done by devilish power, because my forefathers used to do some, even my grandfather has done some before. I've seen it before. Yeah. Ah. Oh, epilepsy. My grandfather has healed one before. Didn't you say kaba kabo, break loose? He brought him to his coven, calmed him in the room for 24 hours, did all he has to do. Since then, till now, it has never happened. And the same man, his son, my father, has also prayed for somebody. And the person is also healed. Outward result, the same. It's a fact about power. So when we stand here right now and we demonstrate power, you will not know which one is God if you want to judge it by what? The outcome. Exodus chapter 7. Very common example. Verse 22. So that's why I said, you see, the devil is very smart. He knows that the outward result is the same. So if I bring it in, we all can mingle. So that's why today the people we are calling men of God, many of them were once in a coven. Shirai, working with my grandfather, but now you are not coming there. So they decided to join us. You people have made it so. They decided to change the. That is what we call rebranding. They have to rebrand. So at first they look so ugly, unkempt, their place. Now they decided, okay, we all wear suits. They find some small puppet and then we will produce the same result. After all, we used to do it. We have the same market now, customers. We are very competitive in the market. Are you with me? Now let's see. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Read previously. You find out that the first four miracles that Moses did, they also repeated. The Bible said that until a point where God resisted them. So if God didn't resist the magicians of Pharaoh, like the rest, they will also separate it. They turned snake, Israel to snake. They also did it. He commanded for house flies. He said, this one are cocoa now. He also commanded house flies. Do me, I do you. And that made Pharaoh so hardened, because whatever Moses would do, his people can repeat. Outward result, outcome, as the demonstration of power, can be very deceptive. Because soulish power can make you pass exams. Devilish power can make you pass. In fact, soulish power can make you get visa. Demonic power can make you get visa. God can also help you get visa. So at the end of the day, it is not it's not the end that we look at. We look at the means. We will get there. Hallelujah. So outward result cannot be used to determine whether God is of God or not. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 to 23. We're not going to read it. Said, and they'll say unto me, in your name we cast out demons. He said, get thee behind me, for I knew you not. But they use this name. Third fact, which is the dangerous of all. When I was studying this whole thing, and the thing is that I've spoken about false power in the teachings of miracle, signs, and wonders. If you remember, I've done it in that series, at Faith Advance, that sub series. I did this teaching under Faith Advance, and I spoke about false power, lying wonders. I spoke about it. Now, follow me. The third fact is that a person at a given time can yield to operate in the three kinds of power, depending on the state of the person's heart, obedience, and submission. Now, follow me here. Yes. Here's the whole thing. You think you cannot be soulish by power? You can. See, nobody is secured. There's no any, unless you find a way to him. That man of God who told the young prophet that eat by a different spirit was the same prophet who told him that what God, we will get there, don't worry. One of the dangers of oppressions of power is that an individual at a given time can yield to the three dimensions, depending on the condition of the person's heart, obedience, and submission. You don't know. Paul said to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20. Said, in the house of the great master. What did he say? There are what? Many what? Vessels. Some of what? Gold. Others clay. Others of wood. But he continued to say that the vessel that shall what? Perch. Shall be sanctified and fit for the master's use. So the rest of the vessels, who is using them? And at the point where a vessel does not perch itself, who is using that vessel? Have you ever asked yourself that question? The condition is that a vessel that shall perch. So, but vessels are for service, right?
Vessels, they are for service. And in fact, the scriptures are some are for honor, others are for what? Dishonor. So it means that if you are not in the act of honor, obviously you will be in the act of what? So the question is, what happens to the vessels that didn't perish? So at a given time, no matter who you are, at a given time, depending on the conditions of your heart, your submission and obedience can tell which power you are subscribing to. I'm going to explain. Now, someone asked me, how is this possible? Now, what makes this possible that a person at a given time can subscribe to all these three kinds of powers is that gifts and calling of men are the core functional point by which spirits are able to execute their will and desire on earth. It's because of the matter of gifts and what? Callings. Your gifts and your calling is the functional point by which any spirit can be able to execute his will or desire on this earth. So if a spirit wills and desire to execute an act of divination, he will find somebody who has the natural ordination, by natural calling, okay, divine ordination. He will find somebody with that divine ordination by God's order, the natural creation of that person, and then would come and take interest in their life. That is why in the whole family, not everybody can become a comfort. When the comfort dies, the demon spirit of oppression will find the one who has that calling by divine ordination, who can be able to minister divine ordinances prophetically. You are born with it. God said to Jeremiah, before you gave a blood clot in the womb of your mom, I knew you and I ordained you. So your ordination of calling, you know, the callings are given by God. Your natural talent, your gifts, they are all there. Spirit will take interest in your life because there is something in you that God has placed there that gives expression to whatever they desire to do. So because of your gifts and calling, the devil is interested in you. God is also interested in you. That is why you see somebody who is a divine, a fortune teller, when God calls him and he becomes born again, that person can be very prophetic. And that is the place where if you don't help the person, at that instant, the person can be operating two frequencies. Yes, as I stand here right now, if I'm not sound biblically and spiritually sound, I can, by the altars that come from my family, prophesy to you and minister deliverance to you, because it is in our natural bloodline. My forefathers are all fetish priests. You know what that means? Do you know what that means? So that is some of the things you take like this. Because it's your natural disposition, the devil is interested, God is also interested. So let me move on. So what happens? Before they can use that divine ordination on you, which is your calling and the gifts, they must empower you by their empowerment. Because the Bible says, he that comes from above is above all. So something from above must come upon it so that it will have the expression of their heart, their work. Because if I send you, I have to back you with my power. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, we read, you see that the Bible said the beast, because it's supposed to do the bidding of what? The dragon did not give his power and authority to it. So if the devil wants to use you, his power, anointing must come on you. I'm going to give you certain dangerous confirmations. Some of the prophets who are speaking to you, you don't know at the time, it is their family altar that is speaking to you. I said, I came to warn you. I came to warn you that there are dangers of operations of power. That's why power, you should not be so, how should I call it? You should not be so obsessed with power. It's very dangerous in that pathway. Let me continue. So as I said, for the gifts and the calling that the spirit is interested in to have expression to execute their job, they must find, it must find an empowerment from them. You get it? So if I am a witch by spirit and I find that this girl here has a natural disposition where she's a leader, she can control and dominate people, I will come and take interest in her life, then I will give her my power so that that natural dispositions in her can find expression. That's why not everybody can be a witch in your family. Check them. I want you to note people who... You see, let me tell you, these secular artists that you are seeing, many of them, do you know most of them started from the church? Oh, haven't you been hearing that story? So what happened? I'm going to show what happened. The Balaam case. Are you with me? So, let's use Balaam. Now, this is what happened. Any man's gift and calling can make him available for God's use at the same time the use of the devil. If the person, listen, is commercially oriented in the use of his gift and calling. Let me explain that. Commercial orientation of the use of your gifts. Do you know commercial orientation? The highest bidder wins. If somebody by knowledge knows that I have this capacity and capabilities, and that person does not yield by consecration to God, but the person wants to express those things as a personality, you become commercial. That means that you will look for any spirit that can give you expression at a given time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you get the point? Okay, let me give an illustration. Now, come. Let me use you as an illustration. Princess here has realized that she has what it takes to influence people by speech. If her whole reason for speaking, purpose to speak, is that he wants to let people know that she can be able to talk and influence you, she will not care about whatever empowerment that comes upon her to do it. She will be willing to yield to any power that will come upon her at that given instance to be able to accomplish what she desires. So if she is so, she has realized that she can dream, she can see things by natural ordination, and she wants to let people know that I can do so, or so forth. Anytime she gets up to speak, she's not going to verify the source of whatever is coming upon her. Because her intention is that I want to commercialize what I do. Do you know commercial means public? At a given instance, whatever will empower that act to happen, it will do so. This is the way they'll tell you fasting and prayers is not necessary. Studying of the word of God is not necessary. Give me the microphone, I'll minister. Shabaya. Hey. And you are there, you not run for your life. The question is that is the danger of power. So everybody's gift and calling is usable by God and devil if you are commercially oriented. Because commercial activity that is for public, anybody can access. You can't shut the commercial washroom public to any, everybody can access it. Even the Ghana Commercial Bank, anybody goes there. Everybody can go there. It's commercial bank. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? So this third fact is very dangerous. So let me give you an example. Balaam. Balaam was the first person to give expression to this third fact. Balaam. Now in the Bible, Balaam, this man, I fear him. Do you know that in the Bible, there's a record that after Sarah died, Abraham had other concubines? Okay, let's read. Maybe you don't know. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Let's go. And she bore him Zimran, Joskan, Jokshan, Medan, Midian. Are you following now? So you see, they all became a city. Ishbak and Shua. Verse 3. Joskan begot Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letshuim, and then Lumimim. Hey! And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Hanok. It's Ephah and Ephah. Hanok, Abida, and elder. All these were the children of what? Keturah. Verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had to what? Isaac. Watch something here. Very dangerous. Verse 6. Dangerous statement. But Abraham gave gifts. Now, the gifts were not qualified. So as it stands, we don't know whether it's spiritual or physical gifts. Or both of them. I'm going to show you something. Follow me. To the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, and while he was still living, he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east. Gifts. Not qualified. Follow. Now let's go back to Numbers chapter 22. Let's look at something that the king Balak said about Balaam. Then I'll tell you. Numbers chapter 22. The verse 6. You know what? That was the first scripture we read, right? Let's go there. Verse 6. Therefore, please come at once. He was talking to Balaam. Now, Balaam is a descendant of Keturah's children. That is, the grandfather is who? Abraham. Is that also? So, but the Bible says that he gave them what? Gifts. And I told that spirit take interest in you because of your natural dispositions, which is your divine ordination, your calling, and the gifts at work in you. Now, Balak is placing a demand on Balaam. What was the reason why he was calling him? And I'm going to confirm something to you. Therefore, come and once curse these people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. Now, listen, said, for I know, not that I heard, I ought no, it's an evidence that he whom you bless is what? Blessed. And he whom you curse is cursed. An apostolic anointing. Go to Genesis chapter 12. What was the blessing God pronounced on Abraham? Whoever blesses you shall be blessed. Whoever curses you shall be cursed. It was a spiritual ordination on the life of Abraham. Are you following me now? Now, it is obvious that whatever Abraham was giving to his children, it could be that a spiritual dimension also accompanied. Now, Balaam had that ability, that apostolic ordination connected to his... That's why I told, as I stand here, if I joke, I can minister to you by the altars of my father. So, Balaam was connected to that apostolic ordination, Genesis chapter 12. So Balak was able to call him and know that no matter what, he pronounced a curse. And indeed, it's true. Now what happened? Balaam, who should have not yielded it for commercial purpose, decided to yield it to commercial purpose. So Balaam at that time could minister God's way and also do divination. So by divination, he built 7 altars to curse Israel. And by God's way, he couldn't curse. He blessed Israel. Frequency, no? As commercially opened. Under the... now you get a picture now. Under any force of influence. So when Balak needed him, he knew by divination how to curse you. And he also knew because the thing is a natural thing. God can also assess him. So you see that God also assessed him and blessed the people of Israel. My brothers and sisters, power should not be your obsession, because you don't know if you don't have what it takes to descend. I tell you, Antoine will be blessing you in the name of Jesus. And it's the same man of God. I'm not talking about those who have even come from the COVID. I'm talking about genuine men of God who are commercial in the operations of their grace and their calling. Today, that is the trend we are dealing with right now. That is why we have to learn to discern where it is coming from. We are getting deep into a place where people are trying to blend. Recently, I saw a story of a man of God who said that we can now also offer animal sacrifices in addition to what Christ has done. And people were sitting there. In fact, this is one revered man of God. People were sitting there and nobody saw a problem with it. If you go to search a man, he has become Balaam. He has been assessed by another frequency. So if you come there, at that given time, whatever of the frequency that is available, you shall be blessed. What I've received, at that is how it operates. So that is the people who can confuse you. Don't know whether they are for God or against God. Because at a given time, you can know that, no, this is a pure move of God. At another given time, you say, this cannot be God. How is that possible? Because of the gift and calling that is disposable. If the consecration is not good, it will be commercialized. And the moment it enters into that commercial state, it is a false power. Are you blessed? Oh, God help me. So, in Numbers chapter 23, verse 15, we saw Balaam blessing. In Numbers 31, 16, the Bible revealed how by divination he was able to give them a way that the people of Israel can corrupt themselves and God will deal with them. Balaam. Now we have Balaams to the extent that they give lotto numbers. We have Balaams. Yes, Balaams on pulpit who now can give you lotto numbers, but they can give you odds. We have Balaams now who have upgraded to the point where now they bless Yahoo boys. My fear is not for the ones who are coming from the coven, they know they are from the coven. My fear is the one who, by their natural disposition, calling and gifts, have commercialized it, and now they can tune into any frequency at any given time by the act of power and minister, and then you are open to it. There's one There's one prophet from level 100 that I met him till now. Nobody can ever convince me that it's not a Balaam. I know it. Yes. So please, don't be obsessed with power. Anointing is good. The act of power is very good. Power mutes the logics of man. In fact, it numbs you logically. When power is on ground, you become logically numb. You can't reason. It's good to have power. Because people respect you when you act in power. You are here listening to me because I am ministering under certain power. If you came here and I was telling you, Kokwananti, sorry, will you come to church again? No. You know that this is not a lecture. This is an act of what? The Spirit speaking to you. Power. Power numbs people. So you can easily overlook many things because how power can make you odd, not being logical, not being reasonable. You are not able to look beyond it. It blocks you. It can blind you. So let me warn you. As I said, you should be anointed and that we should act in anointing. We have to look at the dangers around it. Hallelujah. Don't forget. Good. Now, second person in the Bible, I'll give as an example to the third expression, is Peter. How many of you know Apostle Peter before he was truly born again? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible said that Peter caught a revelation of who Jesus is. I'm skipping some of these scriptures we are not going to read, so that you go and read it. Matthew 16. When Jesus asked them in Matthew chapter 16, that who do men say that I am? The one who caught the revelation by the act, who was able to buy into the frequency of God, was who? Was Peter. They said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. Means that at that instant, Peter was able, by the calling upon him, then the devil saw that, this guy has capacities. This guy has a capability. He's able to operate. There is something there. I can have expression. At that time, the devil was after Jesus to make sure that he never answer and accomplish his calling. You know, in the same chapter, the same chapter of Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus said, get thee behind me, you Satan. How come in the same chapter, he said, my Father spoke to you? In the same chapter, verse 23, he said, the devil spoke to you. The gifts and calling of men make them disposable to any frequency. Their only safety is by consecration, obedience, and submission. So The Bible said the vessel that shall peck itself shall be used for honor. So don't be so mesmerized by power. This is, you have to, you'll be in trouble. And I'm going to show you, as hopefully next, when on the 21st, should I, or maybe if next week, whatever happens, I talk about this, you'll find out that some of us, we take these things for granted. If you're under force power, I'll show you 5 things that will happen to you. 5 things. Very dangerous. So, on the fact of these 3 matters, that makes power an act that we should be very careful of. These facts establish the delicate situation of our relationship with power, which has to do with how we can remain in only God's power and also to be ministered to by what? God's power. These 3 facts that I've given you. Are you with me? How many minutes do I have left? 10. 13. Okay. So, this 3 facts has put us in a very delicate situation. That number 1, God is not the only person who expresses power. Number 2, outcomes, positive or outward outcomes of power cannot be used as a way to know which one is of God and which one is not of God. And number 3, as we are here, either by us or anybody, we are exposed and disposed to any of the frequencies of power because of our giftings and calling. So therefore, how do we help ourselves? Are you with me? To number 1, make sure that we are operating by the only power of God, which is the legitimate approved power. How do we then, by the grace of God, receive ministrations that we know that is coming solely from God's power? And there's something that I'll teach you when we are ending this whole thing. When you are a victim of false power, there are certain things you need to do. One is resolving spiritual conflict. By any accident, you fall under any ministration of those false power, and you come to realize it, you have to quickly apply resolving spiritual conflict for your own good. Hallelujah. So, because we want to be sure and validate what is God and what is not of God, the only thing provided for us is the act of discerning and discernment. And this is what I'm going to wrap up today. Discerning and discernment. Discerning of spirit and discernment come to play whenever we want to be sure between false power and God's power. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. It takes only discerning of spirit and discernment to draw the line that this is of God. Listen to what Apostle John said. He said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of what? God, because many false prophets have gone out into what? The world. Test the spirit." To test a spirit, you need a system called descending of spirit and discernment. They are not the same. These 2 systems, they are not the same. Before you get obsessed with a power, before you get so carried by a power, before you get so open to a power, you must apply discernment and discerning of spirit to it. When you see a man of God ministering powerfully, things are happening powerfully, hold on. Don't send yourself there. Try and then apply the test to prove it is of God. Are we there? So now let's talk about this. Which is, we have to, by the act of discerning of spirit, know the source and motive by which a power at work subscribe to. When you see a power at work, it's the first thing you need, or what needs to be done to connect to that power, receive from that power, is to find the source and the motive. That is how we know which one is of God, which one is not of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16. Yes. So you don't just say, oh, the people were healed. This happened. No. What is the source of that power at work? And what is the motive of the power at work? What the Bible says here, it said, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to what? The flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him, that's not longer. The Bible said, I know no man according to what? The flesh. So you have to know him according to the spirit. So knowing according to the spirit is knowing the source by which his spirit is operating. Are you with me? So when you come and you see a man of God ministering powerfully in teaching, prophetic, singing, whatever thing, the only thing you need to know is to find the source and the motive. To find the source and the motive of that power at work, you need descending of spirit and discernment. Now, what is descending of spirit? Descending of spirit is the skill to know the skill of the spirit of the man, of a man, your spirit, your personal spirit, to know a truth by the help of the Holy Spirit outside the influence of your external environment. If your spirit is able to pick up truth about a matter, about a person, about a situation, by the help of the Holy Spirit, without your external environment, which I'm talking about your body and your soul, at that point, you are doing what we call descending of spirit. Let me explain. You know that by the study of scriptures, you can read a Bible. Do you understand? Somebody can tell you something, okay, about somebody. And by that, you can know the truth about the person. Is that not so? That is not descending of spirit. Descending of spirit is when I meet somebody from nowhere. I have no knowledge about the person. And at that spur of moment, I can descend to know who you are and what you stand for. Who has ever seen that before or experienced that before? My wife used to fight me because I used to do that. Sometimes you can be watching television or so forth. Then a man of God will appear. Then after 5 seconds, I said, change it. I said, hey, Sofo. I said, this is not God. I said, how did you know? I said, I know. What I did over there is descending of spirit. Now, the Bible said that no one knows that. Let's read the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Sorry, 1 Corinthians. I made a mistake. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit? Are you following? No one knows anything. Your thought, your motive is your spirit. Of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Continue on, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So he's saying that for us to be able to pick up the things that are God is spirit, the things that are in spirit, it is our spirit together with the work of what? The Holy Spirit. So it's not somebody told you that God said he will bless you. You are able to pick it yourself. You are able to know that this thing is mine. Now let's look at some application. Discerning of spirit is that instant knowing of what source and motive by which a person or a place is saturated with. If I come around you, if I am very spiritually alert, by discerning of spirit, I should know what spirit saturates you, your motive and your source. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. But immediately, can you see how it is? At the spur of a moment, instantly, when Jesus perceived in where? Church, in where? So I said it is without, it is not influenced by your external environment, which is your soul and your body, your spirit. So Jesus perceived in his spirit, Jesus in his flesh, in his spirit, that they reasoned thus within themselves. He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? A person with descending of spirit is the person who can come and look at you and tell what exactly you are thinking about him. It is discerning of spirit that can save you from a plot in the office that they want to do something to you. Discerning of spirit. You know, this was what the servant Elisha used on his servant. He didn't know. He said, my spirit went forth with thee when we were taking the things of Naaman. Descending of spirit at the spur of a moment. So, as a believer, descending of spirit is the higher sense of alertness that comes with maturity of your spirit man. The alertness, your higher sense of alertness as a human being, as a Christian, is descending of spirit. It comes along with your maturity as a Christian. That is how you weigh a spirit at work. You can easily pick up and know that, no, this is of God, this is not of God. Even though what the person is doing is good or right. See, I'm telling you that, as I've already told you, the person must not necessarily be somebody who is not born again, no? Or somebody who is not of God. I said individual can commercialize their gift and calling. So, descending of spirit will help you to pick up that information. Now, here's the case. Descending of spirit is your higher sense of alertness as you mature, as you grow as a Christian. However, because spiritual growth is not instant, God by his mercies has given us this operation to us as a gift, which comes upon you in the spur of a moment to know. Even though descending of spirit is a revelation of the maturity of your spirit, growth is not instant in the things of God. Are you following? So because God doesn't want us to be victims and growth is step by step, he has made it available as a gift of operation. Now, spiritual gifts are things that comes upon you in a spur of a moment that helps you to what? Do something spiritual, but when you are done, it is gone. So, word of knowledge, it doesn't stay with you for the whole day. But there are people who grow in the art of the prophetic that if you wake them up, they can prophesy. So, you can go to a place, eh? Then you say, Bibi Kachere me say, let me see my hand. Something just prompted you, don't do this. And then out of the, then you say, hey, that is descending of spirit at work. So, if by the grace of God, you have not matured to operationalize it, God has made it available as gift that you can desire it. So, every believer here has no excuse to fall a victim to a false power, because there's a gift to help you to descend it. Gift. No believer has an excuse. If you have not matured, then you can desire that gift. Because the Bible says, desire all gifts, and it shall be given to you. Hallelujah. But here is the case. Oh, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Descending of what? Spirits is there as part of the gifts. However, if all effort for you or all effort by you are still or do not still help you to operate in the descending of spirits, you can also, by the help of discernment, come to a conclusion on the source and motive by which a power is operating in a man's life or a place by discernment. By discernment. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So what is discernment? I'm wrapping up. Discernment is the use of information that comes from external environment of an individual to come to a conclusion of a truth. That is discernment. Hebrews 5:14, and last scripture, then we close. So you see, discerning does not need any external information. Do you get it? That one, by the spur of a moment, your spirit, in its high alertness, can find out, as Jesus said, immediately, he perceived in his spirit their heart, reasoning, their thought, their motive. Nobody knew their motive. But Jesus perceived it. That is discerning of spirit. Discernment, on the other hand, is when an information has been given to you or you have come across an information that is able to help you to come to a conclusion of a truth. Now listen to what Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 said. But solid food, this one he was talking about doctrine, teachings. That is external. As I'm talking to you right now, it is your external senses that is picking it up and sending it to your spirit, through of us. Your gates, through your door, and then through the veil. So your five senses, the hearing, is picking this information I'm giving you right now. Whatever you do with this information to come to a truth is an act of discernment. It's not descending of spirit. So, but this is not the highest form. The best way is descending of spirit. But discernment can also help. But discernment is on the mercy of the information that is given to you. So if you are giving wrong information, you have a wrong discernment. If you are giving right information, you get what? The right discernment. The Bible said, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what? Good and what? But descending of spirit can give you God and good. The limitation of discernment is that it can only give you good and evil. But that is discernment. But descending of spirit will give you the God and the God dot and the good. Are you with me now? So, with our interest in power. Okay, so that is why you see that the reason I'm saying this thing is that when you go to a place, when you go for a program, sometimes you can see a flyer and then your spirit will tell that I will not be there. So sometimes when you say this thing, people think that we are being hyper spiritual. No, we are just alert spiritually. I saw a flyer, a banner, a billboard when we were coming last time. I said, this is a pure mixture, genuine, and they added another one to it to balance the equation. Then this one, I knew it by discernment. Are you following me? By the information I have. But there was this very man of God, I saw him ministering. Then I saw him. I wanted to listen to him. Then just click in my spirit. Don't. And I just withhold myself. I didn't go. Later on, I went to conduct my investigation on him. And I found out that the source, hush. No, I conduct those investigations. I begin to check his immediate people he moves around. The men of God he walks around, the people around him, their expressions. And I found 2-3 people that is there. I said, that is why the Holy Spirit prompted me. I would have fed on something very poisonous. Hallelujah. So, false power is very difficult to detect if you don't apply descending of spirit and discernment. I want us to lift up our voice and pray. The Lord, heighten my discernment and my descending of spirit. If you have not ever operated, he said, gifts God gives without repentance. I want you this morning right now to pray and say, God, give me the spirit of descending of spirit. Give me that gift of descending of spirit. Give it to me. Desire. I want you to see, don't end the year without desiring this gift. See, every season and what you must desire. One of the things I plead with you this very morning that you will desire of God is that, oh God, give me that gift of descending of spirit. That at the spur of a moment, I can know the motive and source of those powers at operation. Everybody at every given time oppressed by power and ability. When people come around you, the source and the motive of what they do and what they intend to do for you is very important. I tell you, it is not a free thing. It is costly to be a victim of what? Ungodly power, ungodly presence. There are anointings that are not from the altars of God. There are people who have commercialized their callings and their giftings. And the devil is finding expression with it. And many are becoming victims of it. Oh, pray the Lord, let me not be a victim. Heighten, help me at the spur of a moment. When I found myself in a place, oh God, by the spur of a moment, the gift of descending of spirit. And Lord, that I will always continue to feed on your word to come to a conclusion of a truth about matter. Amando lomo kosi lavada kaya. Celebra na makuvela masianta kaya. Irama kuranda basaya. You can see people wearing suit and tie, smiling, but I don't know their fetish priest. You don't see the fetish spirit by your naked eye. Now what? No. It is by descending of spirit. You know that, no, this person that I'm dealing with, this person in my office, this person I'm greeting, this person I'm in contact with, is coming from this place. Sometimes we enter into relationship with people that we think that they are right, but by the time we realize, since why do we miss it when we enter into relationship? It's because we lack descending of spirit. No man after the flesh. No man after the flesh anymore. No man after the flesh. Said, beloved, test all spirits. Every man is spirit by expression. Lift up your voice and pray. There is a means of escape for this matter. There is a means of escape from false power. There is a means of escape. There is a means of escape from false spirit. There is a means of escape from a false anointing. And that is that by descending of spirits. That gift of descending of spirit. Oh, that gift of descending of spirit. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Lord, I desire. Oh, show me up. Let the alertness of my spirit be increased, be heightened. I cannot make bad investments. See, next year, you must be so conscious of bad investments. It is because you were not able to discern to know that the motive and the source of where you are going is not of God. Oh, Lord, heighten my discernment. Heighten the discerning of spirit in me. Let my spiritual awareness, alertness be increased. Sometimes we meet people and we bypass them because we are not spiritually alert. We judge men by flesh and blood and not by the spirit. Our destiny helpers sometimes will come around us, but because of our weakness in descending of spirit, we are not able to know that, oh, this person that may look like this is the one God is going to use. But I pray from today, we will not enter 2026 and we will be weak in descending of spirit. Help us, oh God, help us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Mevele bebra satakaya.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.